Are you ready, Flyer fans? It's the Anthony Grant Show. Presented by Bud Light and live from Frickers on Woodman Drive in Dayton. The Anthony Grant Show is brought to you by Bud Light. Keep it crisp with Bud Light. Frickers, for over 30 years, has been the home of fun, food, sports, and spirits. Premier Health is proud to be the official healthcare provider for UD Athletics. Learn more at premierhealth.com/sportsmed. And by Flyer Spirit, the university-owned student staff destination for Dayton Flyers gear. Hashtag Flyer Spirit. The Anthony Grant Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's news and talk. Now, here's the voice of the Flyers, Larry Hanskin.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome for the final time this Flyer basketball season to the Anthony Grant Show here at Frickers, your home, fun food, sports, and spirits. And it's been the home of the Anthony Grant Show for you all season long here Monday nights during the Flyer basketball season. Where did the time go? It doesn't seem that it was really that long ago that we were sitting here previewing a trip to Maui and what the potential held there for this Flyer basketball team. But now we sit here on this Monday night, and the nets have been cut down. The Dayton Flyers, A-10 champs outright. We knew that. Yeah. Going into the week, but still had some work to take care of with a conference road game at Rhode Island on Wednesday. Flyers took care of business there decisively. And then in the second half, in the home finale on Saturday, just found another gear and put it to George Washington to finish the A-10 season 18-0, 29-2 overall. That is a school record for wins. The 20 wins in a row ties a school record for winning streak that was set back in 1952. And the Flyers going in as the number one seed in the A-10 tournament and a chance to play into that number one line in the NCAA tournament. So, my gosh, we got a lot going on. On top of all that, Obi Toppin has been named the Atlantic 10 Player of the Week for a second week in a row. Accomplishing something that had only been done previously by Jalen Crutcher, who did it earlier this year. So, and we did this yesterday because if the weekend wasn't full enough for Coach Grant, with game day at the Frerich Center on Saturday, a big game Saturday night, and then Sunday morning was the team awards brunch to pass out the individual awards, and there was plenty of honors to go around there, certainly. But, Coach, that's a very long preamble. I've been yakking away, but that was just an incredible weekend, and I don't know that it could have gone any better scripted.
Yeah, well, it was a full week. You know, we had a really good week, obviously. You know, you go on the road and you get a win at Rhode Island, you know, and again, I'm really impressed with what Rhode Island's been able to do this year and their personnel and, you know, the 10 league wins in a row. You look at, you know, throughout the league, you know, you look at Richmond sitting there with 14 wins in the league and the way St. Louis is playing. It's been a gauntlet, really, for our guys to go through and to be able to finish it off on Saturday with a home win, you know, against GW with everything going on, the emotional roller coaster, so to speak, of having game day in town and the excitement that everybody felt having those guys here. We really appreciate them choosing Dayton to come in. And then senior night, you know, saying goodbye to Ryan and Trey, them playing their last home game as seniors, you know, and the emotion that came with that. And then you got to go play a basketball game later that night. And it was a lot for our guys, and certainly really proud of our guys' ability to stick to it and stay with it and be able to find a way to win the game in dominating fashion to be able to accomplish what we accomplished. And obviously we enjoyed the celebration after and then being able to recognize the team for what they accomplished over the course of the season with the banquet.
And we talked about it right afterwards, but I thought Saturday night's game was kind of a microcosm of the season because you had to overcome some adversity. I mean, you were down in the second half, but then you found a way to win. The game included Jalen Crutcher making clutch plays. It had Rodney Chapman making defensive stops. It had Trey and Ryan making winning plays. Ibby and Jordy and Dwayne and Jerry coming off the bench doing what they do. And then Obi finding something in his dunk repertoire that we didn't even know existed. But it all was there in one game, and it was kind of maybe in a way told a story of your season.
Yeah, you know, I think that this time of year, you know, you certainly want to be playing your best basketball as you head into the postseason. And as you mentioned, we got a lot of really good efforts from a lot of different places. Obviously, you know, what Jalen did in the second half there, I think he got 18 of his 21 in the second half. And then Obi's dominance, you know, toward the middle of that half to open up the lead for us. But we had a lot of different guys step up in a variety of different ways. It was great to see the productivity we got coming off the bench with Ibby. And I thought Dwayne came in the first half and gave us a boost there from a defensive standpoint. Jordy impacted the game in a positive way. You know, so it was great to be able to see that. And then, obviously, with Trey and Ryan, you know, the emotion of going through senior night, and then, you know, just the joy that those guys had to be able to finish their careers with an A-10 championship, making history to go 18-0. You know, it was really a fulfilling night.
Again, something that we talked about before, but will again for the audience here tonight. Obviously, Trey and Ryan with a big impact on the program. But what did their day one buy-in mean to you and you taking over this program and establishing a new culture?
Well, I mean, you look back on it now, and you know the story, you know. But for both of those guys, I think the big thing that stands out to me is their pride in wearing that Dayton Flyer uniform from day one and understanding the opportunity that presented them, both on and off the court. And then they're really just great teammates, you know, just their ability to get along with their teammates and try to help everybody become the best version of themselves. That's what really stands out to me about those guys more than anything else. And obviously, you know, myself and our staff, those guys were able to buy into what we told them we needed to do as a unit to become the best version of ourselves. So I'm very appreciative of all that those guys have done and the way that they've gone about doing it.
I'll steal a line from Jay Billis, who was here for game day, who has been a Flyer fan, so to speak, since Maui. But I thought his way of saying it was very appropriate. He said, Dayton doesn't have role players. They have players who star in their roles. That's a pretty good description of your team.
Well, we appreciate that. Obviously, Jay's been terrific, you know, just with obviously, he saw us early in the season in Maui, and has been an advocate for ours for our program and what we've been able to accomplish over the course of the season. So we appreciate all the kindness that he's extended our way.
All right, a lot of basketball left to be played, and it starts this week in Brooklyn with the A-10 quarterfinals on Friday. Dayton will be taking on a winner of a game on Thursday between UMass and VCU. We'll talk about that, the rest of the tournament field, and it'll look even down the road. This is all coming up. The Bud Light mic available for our folks here at Frickers as we continue on the final edition of the Anthony Grant Show.
The Anthony Grant Show, live from Frickers on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's news and talk. You're listening to the Anthony Grant Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's news and talk. Call now, 457-1290. Now, back to the voice of the Flyers, Larry Hanskin.
And welcome back here to the Anthony Grant Show. We are live at Frickers on Woodman Drive for the final time this season, although John Bedell, Brooks Hall, and Keith Walskowski will be here on Sunday at 6. Excuse me, for the Selection Sunday show, as the brackets will be revealed, and they'll be talking, look at that, and analyzing it. So you want to watch the Selection show on Sunday, come on out here to Frickers, 6 o'clock, and we'll be on the air with the show from 6 until 9. Bud Light Mike's available right now. Steve, step on up. You got a question for Coach. All right, go ahead.
Hey, Coach.
Steve.
This is not a question. I don't want you – this is not a positive yes absolutely or no absolutely. So what are the chances of you thinking about retiring here?
Hopefully you let me coach a few more games. Is that okay?
Thank you.
Appreciate it. You're not trying to retire me yet, are you? What did I do to you?
I hope what you inferred was that you would like him to stay here until at which point in time might consider retirement.
All right.
Man,
thank you.
Tough crowd. They want to show you the door. Jeez. Show you the door already. I think Anthony Solomon put him up to that. All right. Later, we got the A-10 this week, but before we even get to Brooklyn, we'll find out who the individual conference honorees will be. I got to think it's going to be a foregone conclusion that Obi will be player of the year in the league and be first team all again as he was last year. It would be my hope that he would not be the only Flyer individual to receive some type of recognition from the league because, this was a tremendous team effort and some really outstanding individual play as part of that team.
Yeah, without question. You know, obviously, Obi, what he's done, candidate for National Player of the Year, I think that speaks for itself just in terms of his impact, not only on our team, but just college basketball and the way that he's gone out about his business this year. But I think, you know, Jalen Crutcher to me is best guard in our league, and he's one of the best guards in the country. You know, and I said all year long that, you know, he's really good, you know, and I think he just keeps proving, you know, who he is and what he's about, and, you know, just a great talent. And I think we've got several other guys that hopefully will receive some recognition for what they've been able to accomplish within our team this year. You know, as you mentioned earlier, just Rodney Chapman, what he's done from a defensive standpoint. Ibby Watson, you know, we've had some guys that have been really stellar. So hopefully, you know, they'll get that individual recognition. I think all of them will be the first to tell you that what they enjoy about what we've had a chance to do this year is the team aspect of it. But certainly you want to reward the individuals as the team has success as well.
I want to talk a little bit about Rodney because, and I want to applaud not just him, but I want to applaud Dayton fans because it took you a while to get him. But I've seen it here in the last couple of months is that when he comes down and puts – when he locks someone up defensively, like he did on Saturday against George Washington, the Flyer faithful picked up on it. They didn't need to see the ball go through the net coming out of his hands. They could see the frustration on the faces of his opponents. And to see him check out and get the standing ovation that he got for just being a lockdown defender.
That was great to see. And we appreciate that, Flyer faithful, because we, you know, obviously I talk a lot about, you know, how things that may not necessarily show up on a stat sheet but make a big difference in terms of our ability to win, and the things that a Rodney Chapman does, the things that a Trey Landers does for us, those things that from a coach, you know, from my perspective, it's invaluable, you know, and we certainly wouldn't be where we are today without those efforts by them and a lot of different guys. I'm just obviously singling out some guys I think have been, you know, outstanding over the course of the year in terms of deserving of individual recognition from the league, but those guys make a big difference.
Obviously, Jalen makes Obi a better player, but has Rodney made Jalen a better player?
No question. You know, I think just for 2 years, you know, we asked Jalen to basically play 38, 39 minutes, you know, to take the load not only offensively but defensively in terms of obviously handling, passing. You know, and then defending, and you know, just that's a wear and tear on a guy. So just having another guy back there that can help facilitate, and obviously make such a difference for us on the defensive end, and then also has the ability to score and play make. You know, so certainly as we've added pieces, it's helped everybody.
And consequently, when Dwayne Cohill gives you quality minutes, whether it's in the first half, the second half, both halves, what does that do to help the productivity of Jalen and Rodney?
Yeah, that's team, right? That's team. And, you know, you could go down the list with every guy that we've asked to accept that role of coming off the bench and providing a spark, whether it be for 5 minutes or 25 minutes. You know, and our guys have been willing to accept their roles and understand that it all really makes a difference for us, and especially as we approach the postseason, we're going to need everybody.
All right, as you head into the postseason, you've got – this is probably the longest break you've had since way back in early February.
Yeah.
That you played Saturday and you don't play again until Friday. So a chance to, you know, give the legs a little rest?
Yeah, I think mentally and physically this will be a good stretch for us. You know, obviously, as we said, I thought – you know, this weekend there was a lot going on. You know, so we've got, you know, obviously 4 or 5 days here from a preparation standpoint. We won't know who we play, obviously, until Thursday afternoon. But it gives us a chance to look at maybe ourselves. The guys have some responsibilities academically that they've got to take care of, with this being the last week before spring break. So they're busy. You know, it's not an off time, so to speak, but it's more of a mental, hopefully, recovery and refresh as we head to the postseason.
You know, you mentioned the academics and, you know, Beth Flack and her staff really stay on top of those guys.
Yeah.
Really stay on top of them.
Yeah. Beth and her staff, just they're outstanding just with what they do and really just working with the guys in terms of understanding how they learn best, you know, what they need at a particular time, and being flexible, you know, with what we're trying to get done. And the importance of what they're doing in the classroom.
You've often talked about, you know, your athletic director, Neil Sullivan, giving you what you need to be successful. The resources like the academic advisors, is that part of that package, if you will, that allows a program to be successful?
Yeah, that's a big part of it, you know, and, you know, just having access to help the guys, not necessarily you know, because we've got guys that I think do a really good job in terms of taking care of their business, but more than anything else, I think that ability to relieve the stress of the planning that goes into being a good student and helping them to become, like we always talk about, the best version, right? So if I'm a natural C student, maybe having the access to tutors and labs to do my work and things like that help me become a B or an A student. So just giving guys a little bit extra that, you know, a lot of times maybe you take for granted, but certainly we don't, and we appreciate.
As a parent of a senior at UD, I don't know how many times she's told me, oh, my gosh, I forgot to do this paper, and it's due tomorrow. Yeah. Probably would have been nice to have someone there to tap you on the shoulder gently a couple times leading up to it to remind you had that coming up.
Yeah, and then as you grow, as you get older, you know, you're able to manage that stuff for yourself, and that's part of what this thing is about, right? In college, as you grow and you mature and you become more independent and more responsible. So Beth and her staff do a great job of helping our guys get to that point.
Yeah, this is a high IQ basketball team. Guys get it done in the classroom. They may collectively speak more languages than any other Flyer basketball team I've been around, although Jordy and Moo, they handle the most of it beyond English, but you know, it's a very diverse team. It's a neat group of guys, and I think, like Dayton fans, through the course of the year, I think they've gotten to kind of feel what these guys are like because of how they play and how they interact with each other. I think the likability factor is very palpable, and I think the Flyer fans have picked up on that, and rightfully so. The Dayton chapter of the UD Alumni Association set up A-10 tournament game watches open to all Flyer fanatics Friday at Milano's in Beaver Creek, Saturday at Company 7 in Englewood, Sunday at the Buffalo Wild Wings on Stroop. Sunday, we'll have a watch here as well at Frickers here on Woodman Drive for the championship game. And then also, we will have a special selection Sunday show, 6 to 9, that John Bedell will be hosting here along with Keith Walskowski and Brooks Hall. That's next Sunday night here at, well, this coming Sunday night here at Frickers, where we've got the second half of our final edition of the Anthony Grant Show. And that is coming up as we continue here at Frickers, a Woodman Drive.
The Anthony Grant Show, live from Frickers on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's News and Talk. You're listening to the Anthony Grant Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's news and talk. Call now, 457-1290. Now, back to the voice of the Flyers, Larry Hansgen.
Hey, and welcome back here to Frickers on Woodman Drive. Another great crowd here on hand tonight. Fittingly enough, one of the things that will mark this Dayton basketball season, there's just so many ways of measuring what's been accomplished. Obviously, the wins, you know, 29 wins so far, 18-0 in the conference, 20-game win streak and counting. But you know what? And then the sellout crowds, shattering all the records for attendance at the arena. And then the road crowds as well. I mean, Dayton played in some hostile environments this year. But, Coach, I think you can agree with me that even in the hostile environments that we saw in Richmond, VCU, St. Louis, and most recently Rhode Island, once we got those people quiet, you could hear the Flyer faithful.
Well, you know, I think that the thing we've had, which has been great, everywhere we've gone, we've had so many Flyer fans come out and support us in every arena that we've been in. And, you know, even the ones that you've mentioned where we've been somewhat outnumbered, you know, we've been fortunate that we've had our share of fans there to cheer us on and support us.
You know, this obviously it's a very impressive accomplishment to go 9-0 on the road, to play nine true road games and win them all. But is it maybe not as impressive, but maybe even more so important that you defended your home court this year? You did not lose a game at the UD Arena.
Yeah. Well, that's important, and that's a part of, you know, one of the goals that we had this year is to protect our home court and make sure that we did that, you know, and our guys took pride in that all year long, and it's great to look back on it and say we were able to accomplish that.
As you head into a situation now in Brooklyn where it's going to be a neutral site event, the third neutral site event you've been a part of this year, and you know, I don't know that there needs to be any certain preparation for neutral sites. I mean, this team is wired such as that, you know, if you give them 94 feet and you put a basket at either end, then they're going to feel comfortable. But do they get a little juiced up, though, about playing in an NBA facility like the Barclays Center?
Well, you know, I think our guys, you know, are excited to play. They're excited to compete, you know, and we've had challenges all the way through the season. So I think the season, that the competition that we played, the venues that we've played in, has prepared us. And obviously, you know, and I said this after the game on Saturday, you know, you can look and you know, we're celebrating, you know, something that we've accomplished, you know, 18-0, but it was a grind. You know, there was a lot of difficulty, a lot of hard work, a lot of resiliency that was required for us to sit back and enjoy what we've done. So we expect a great challenge in Brooklyn. Obviously, we'll find out whether we play VCU or UMass on Thursday after their game. And then we've got to be prepared to go out and compete. And, you know, what was done in the past has no bearing on what's next, you know. So that part of it is done, you know, and we've gotten some experience just like everybody else has. Now we've got to go out and for the 40 minutes that we play, the next opponent that we play, that's all that matters. So we've got to be able to quickly get our focus on that and move forward. So this week will be, you know, important for us because until we find that out, we get a chance to worry about us, you know, and we get a chance just to get some good practice in, to get some good rest in, to mentally get prepared for what lies ahead.
So once Thursday afternoon, about 3 o'clock rolls around and you know who you're going to play, the fact that you have played whoever it is, if it's VCU or if it's UMass, you have played them twice already. So personnel, you've done that with the guys twice before. Does that give you a little head start that you can just really get into the scouting report and the game plan right away?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, obviously when anytime you play a team twice, you know, you're more familiar with them, they're more familiar with you. So, you know, there'll be adjustments that'll be made on both ends and then you got to go play the game. So, like I said, you know, this is this time of year, just like we talk about once we get to conference play. It, you know, no matter what the non-conference schedule was, once you get to conference play, it's a new season. well, this is a new opportunity for everybody, you know, and obviously whoever wins the tournament gets that automatic bid to the NCAA tournament. So, you know, you'll have teams that and players that'll get new life. So, you know, we can't look at stuff that happened in the past as a predictor of what potentially is going to happen. And we've got to take each game one at a time with a life of its own and get as prepared as we can.
You know, last year St. Louis really did play themselves into the tournament by winning four games in 4 days. But this time around, the Billikens are one of those top four seeds, along with the top-seeded Flyers, Richmond number two and Rhode Island number three. I look at those four teams, and to me, those are four NCAA tournament teams.
Well, I think, you know, our league, I think we said this at the beginning of the year, you know, that it was a lot of really good teams in the league. I don't think you can count out a team like Duquesne, you know, and what they've accomplished. Obviously, the top four seeds are what they are, and then, you know, you got to look at a team like Davidson sitting there, and you know, as good as they are, the way that they've played, you know, there's a lot of really good teams in the league, a lot of really good matchups. So, you know, for us, we're going to try to focus on, you know, our three game tournament with us, VCU and UMass, because that's really what happens, and then we'll figure out what happens after that. But for us, it's really those three teams right now that we're focused on. But, you know, on the other side of the bracket, I think you know, you've got some really good teams that have had really good years, and obviously Richmond stands at the top of that with the 2C going 14-4 and what they've been able to do. I think without question, you know, when you look at their wins in the non-conference, when you look at the success that they've had over the course of 18 games, they've earned the right to be in the field. And you know, hopefully the committee, as they kind of look through, you know, what's fair and what's right and what's good, that, you know, the A-10 will get the respect that it deserves, and we'll see how many teams that ends up with, and we'll go from there.
Well, you know what? The Dayton Flyers would just like to, you know what? It's okay to be greedy this time of year. Win the regular season outright title, go to Brooklyn, win that title as well, and then let the committee decide who else gets to join the party.
There you go.
Bud Light Mike available to folks here at Frickers is Tom Saunters up to the Bud Light Mike.
Coach, I'm not superstitious, but there's no connection between that and the fact that I've worn the same Flyer shirt for the last 20 games.
And yeah, we noticed.
And the same hat. And I was going to ask you about, you know, any superstitions that maybe the coach or his family or the Flyers have, but I don't even want to know that. So. Thanks, Coach. It's just incredible.
My only superstition is I think it really helps us when we score more points than our opponent.
I like that.
And if the fans stand, and if the fans at home stand until the first basket,
no
Flyer
question.
Basket.
No question.
That always bodes well, too. You know what? You're undefeated when that happens.
There you go. There you go.
Chris started something that has worked every single
there
game.
You go.
So we'll give her credit for that. That was a neat thing, and it was started here at Frickers one night, almost casually, that we mentioned it. John Rapone brought it up, and then you reiterated. I mentioned it a few times the next morning or so, and then lo and behold, it happened. It's gone viral, but it was a quick virus, quicker than the others that are going around. But it's just part of what has been a really great season for this Dayton team and its fans. We've got a lot of basketball left to be played. Obviously, coming up in Brooklyn this week with that noon game on Saturday. Now, if you are Friday, it's not till 1 o'clock Saturday. Noon game on Friday, and you know, I will tell you this: if you have to work that day and your boss isn't going to let you watch TV or listen to a physical radio, you can stream it on your computer. You can listen. Josh Pastorino will be there with me. You can listen to Josh and me on your computer. And they'll think you're working, okay? They'll think you're working. Just get, and the more intense you get, they'll just think, man, he's really busting his hump today. Look at him over there. He's pounding his fist on the table. This guy's really into his job. Or if that doesn't work, I'll write you a note. We got another segment coming up, and we'll put a bow around this thing. It's our final edition of the Anthony Grant Show here at Frickers on Woodman Drive.
The Anthony Grant Show, live from Frickers on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's news and talk. You're listening to The Anthony Grant Show on 1290 and 95.7 WHIO, Dayton's news and talk. Call now, 457-1290. Now, back to the voice of the Flyers, Larry Hansgen.
And welcome back here to Frickers, your home of fun, food, sports, and spirits. And for this Flyer basketball season, and what a season it's been, the Anthony Grant Show here. Bud Light Mike's available, and Sean, I didn't know if you were just standing up, let people walk past you.
I was being nice.
You're being nice, okay. Well, ask a nice question then.
All righty.
Or ask a mean question, I don't care.
I'll be nice. Coach, first of all, I want to congratulate you on an outstanding season.
Thank you.
I also want to give a big shout-out to Shauna Green and the women's team for winning the A-10 tournament.
Outstanding.
Going to the NCAA. I mean, this is awesome with a new arena. I mean, this is just a time to be alive, like as they say. But seriously, I want to ask you how, you know, you were a student, you were a player when we made the Elite Eight back in 84, and now you're experiencing all that buzz, and now you're experiencing all this hype. How do the two situations compare for you? So, as a student, as a player, and then as the coach now with all this hype?
That's a great question. You know, when you're, for us back then, you know, I think ESPN was just beginning.
Yeah.
So you didn't have, you know, there was no social media. You didn't have the exposure back then that you have now in terms of the fanfare. So I think we were in Utah.
Yeah.
And maybe one of the three stations that were on at the time, the news came on and they said Dayton, Ohio, and you saw a street you're familiar with kids jumping up on cars and couches on fire. And I remember we all were like running down the hall. I couldn't believe that we just seen Dayton, Ohio and the student neighborhood on fire, you know? And so it was a lot of excitement back then, you know? And then to go Saturday morning and be in the Ferrix and have Coach Donaher there and game day there and the buzz that was there, that was really cool. It was really cool to see that, you know. So as the coach, I don't really get to take those moments in maybe as much as some of you do. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for me to be able to see Coach there and to see that environment kind of took me back to that. So,
I was a freshman out there then, too. So it was
awesome.
That same year.
Awesome.
So
you weren't burning couches, were you?
What's that? Was I in your classes? I think I was in a couple. He was a good, he behaved well.
I know you weren't in class with Roosevelt. Often. All right, I'm just teasing. Roosevelt did a heck of a job, came back, got his doctorate, I think, at UD. All right, so we got one more minute.
One more quick thing.
Oh, step
Larry, you're a class act. You are just an ultimate professional. Just wondering if you're going to stay in Dayton, Ohio, or are you going to go out to the national media?
Well, Steve wants me to retire. I'm not going anywhere.
I know a guy named Guida that can take care of him.
There you go.
You know what? And I'll tell you a good reason why. I was at the arena several years back, and someone that was working a game for ESPN was he was getting his stuff together, and he said to me, he goes, I envy you. I go, okay. He goes, I really envy you. He goes, because I do this every night. I show up and I call these games. He says, I have no relationship whatsoever with my audience. They don't know who I am. I don't know who they are. I sit down, I watch the game, I describe it, and I pack my stuff up and I go home. He goes, I envy you in that opportunity to have a relationship with an audience. And he hit the nail right on the head. Mm-hmm. Because the thing that we all want in life, I think, is to do something that has some type of meaning. And I'm not curing cancer or anything. I just talk, folks. But to see you folks and to see how much Dayton basketball means to you, it gives meaning to what I do. And for that, I thank you. I thank you very much. Yeah.
And let me just add, you know, for me, Larry was the voice of the Flyers when I played here, you know, so decades ago. And so, you know, just having him just a part of what we're doing, there's a comfort and a confidence for myself and our staff that he's a pro, you know, just the way he goes about what he does, and you know that he is in it just as much as we are in terms of putting in the time, wanting to get it right, wanting to help these kids understand what they have an opportunity to represent when they put that Flyer uniform on, and does an outstanding job. So I want to thank you on behalf of our players and our staff for all that you do for us.
Well, and that, you know, and the relationship with you and the staff and players and former players, it was so great. One of the great things about Saturday night, and we could go on and on because there were so many wonderful things, but seeing so many former players come back and to see them just as thrilled about your team's success as any success they had themselves.
Yeah, that's a part of the Flyer family, you know, and that's the beautiful thing about it. And it was awesome. It was awesome, David, to share that with those guys.
Getting more guys signed the wall?
Yeah, I tell you what, we've last week, Frank Case came in, signed the wall, and let's see, who else did we have come in? We had maybe three or four different guys from different eras that came in town last week, either watch practice or was here for the weekend for game day and the game this weekend. So it's filling up. Yeah, we're getting a good group.
For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, there's a wall in the basketball office. It looks like a playing floor. And when former players come back, they sign the wall. And whenever I'm there and I'm killing time, I just get a kick out of going over the wall and just looking at the signatures. And, you know, it's a trip down memory lane for me as I, you know, remember guys that when they were players or heard about them or gotten to know them through the years. So very, very cool indeed.
Yeah, and we're on the road in different venues. We were at UMass, and a couple of former players came up and talked to them and asked them, you know, when would they be back in town. They go, yeah, I got to get back, and I got to sign the wall.
Yeah.
So it's great that they're familiar with it and they know. So we're proud of that.
All right, so you have a time to kind of reset before, like you say, you begin preparation for a specific opponent Thursday afternoon once we're in Brooklyn. I maintain that this team is still improving. Are you seeing that as well?
Yeah, that's my goal, you know, and I guess I'm stubborn like that. I want to continue to see us get better because every game's going to bring different challenges, you know. Like, we just played GW on whatever, March 7th for the first time. You know, so some things that they did, their personnel, it was first time we'd seen it. You know, some of these teams that we played for the second time did some things differently than what they did the first time we played them. So, you know, it's a 31 games of scouting that an opponent can do on us in terms of what we're doing offensively and defensively, and we do the same. So it's like, okay, what can we do as we move forward to prepare as best we can for what lies ahead? You know, so I think you always got to be thinking as a coach, how can we get better? How can we continue to move forward? And what do we need to do to be the best version of ourselves? And our guys have you know, they understand that in terms of, hey, here's where we are. Here are the standards we want to play to. And, you know, how close are we getting to being able to maximize that and getting the results that we want and seeing how that works hand in hand. So, yeah, there'll be some things, I think, you know, as we approach Brooklyn that we'll need to do better, you know, so hopefully we can continue to get better.
And, you know, talk about making adjustments. I saw you Saturday night against GW. You threw a zone at him, and it was very effective. Was that in the repertoire going in?
Yeah, that's something, obviously, you know, we haven't used a whole lot this year, but certainly it's something that we do have in our repertoire and felt like it was appropriate at that time because they were in a rhythm offensively at that time, and we felt like we just wanted to break their rhythm a little bit, and it served its purpose. And who knows, that could be something, especially with 3 games in 3 days in Brooklyn, that could be something that could be really beneficial to us. So we get a chance in practice to work on that probably more than we've actually played in the whole season this year. But certainly we want to make sure that we have that available to us should we need it.
Well, you've got, depending on personnel, I mean, I looked out there and I saw some, I think Obi and Jordy and Ibby were in there and Trey, there was some length to that
thing.
We've
got some versatile pieces, and that's where the benefit of, being able to get some reps with it in practice, that you can move guys to different spots, and they know their roles and what they got to do.
One group we haven't talked about this year, and here is the last show, so shame on me for not bringing it up, is your practice guys.
Yeah.
I mean, the guys that run scout team for you. You know, occasionally they get to see the walk-ons come in for a cup of coffee at the end of the game, but the work they do day in, day out for you, how vital have they been?
It's been really, really valuable to us. Obviously, last year's group was different in terms of, those guys are obviously integral parts of the success we're having this year. This year we've got some freshmen mixed in with some vets, with Christian Wilson and Cam Greer. But those guys do an unbelievable job of following our assistant coaches' scouting reports and getting prepared every day to give us a good look in terms of whether it's what the other team is doing offensively or their game plan defensively in terms of how they want to attack us. And that makes a big difference because it's not always, in practice, especially this time of year, where you want to do a lot of, banging good on good in terms of guys going at each other. So those guys' ability to execute and understand, here's what we need to do to get us prepared, has been really, really good for us.
All right. Well, that's going to about wrap things up here. So, again, the week ahead for Dayton is a trip to Brooklyn, New York, and the A-10 quarterfinals on Friday at noon against the winner of a Thursday game between VCU and UMass. Then the semis are on Saturday at 1, Sunday the championship game at 1:30. We're here, we being WHIO Radio at Frickers, on Sunday night as John Bedell, Brooks Hall, and Keith Waskowski will be hosting a special show as the brackets unveiled. A chance to react and respond. A special show here from Frickers Sunday night from 6 to 9. All the games on radio. Josh Pastorino will be joining me there in Brooklyn. We'll start pregame coverage for you Friday at 11 o'clock, and the game tips off right about lunchtime, Friday at noon. So many people to thank. Kevin Lemaire has been our producer most of the nights here. He's done an outstanding job making it so that you folks can hear the show here at Frickers. And plus, they're hearing it on the radio and loud and clear there as well. The staff, the servers at Frickers. We keep coming at you in waves, and you keep bringing the beverages and the chicken out. So job well done. And then especially the Flyer faithful, those of you who have come out, not just tonight, but throughout the season. Thanks for all that you do. On behalf of the coach, Anthony Grant, I'm Larry Hanskin. It's been a great season, and we got lots more to come. Go Flyers.
Go Flyers.
From our downtown Dayton McAfee Heating and Air Studios, WHIO AM Dayton, WHIO FM Pleasant Hill, a Cox Media Group station.